This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. In June, a U.S. Justice Department survey found Georgia's youth detention facilities had among the highest rates in the nation for complaints that young offenders were also victims of sexual abuse or assault, either by staff or by other young offenders in the facilities. Juvenile Justice Commissioner Avery Niles suspended 20 of his investigators because investigations of some 20 complaints had remained open for months. Commissioner Niles joins us in his office. Commissioner, thank you for giving us this time and welcome. Good to have you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for allowing us to share information with you.
Subsequent to the Department of Justice survey, you ran a check of how many open cases you actually had. You came up with 700 cases that were still open. Now, most of these were not sex cases. These are all types of cases, correct?
That is correct. I tell you, one of the things that we did do is after all those cases that was looked at, we confirmed or substantiated three cases. Now, we have a couple of, I think it was roughly 12 additional cases that we are currently still actively working.
And the three that were substantiated and the 12 that you're still looking at, these are cases of alleged sexual abuse by staff on offenders, correct?
Not that it's been substantiated. It's still in the working stages. But out of all those, we had the three cases that we did confirm, and we did terminate those employees and referred those two of them to outside law enforcement. And then one of them was a policy violation that did not rise to the level of a violation of law.
You had 700 open cases of all types. Why did that happen?
For whatever reason, the priority was or wasn't given to the fullness of investigating whatever case it was. I don't know how we got here, but I do know going forward, we put measures in place to deal with those cases and cases that comes after this, processes. We have had a change the way that we report, change in a way that we investigate cases, as well as a change in a way that we process the cases within our, and I would say, a convoluted type of system. So you have to manually do things, and I guess that's one of those type things that help prolong the closure of the cases. Not that all of them were still open, actively work cases. Some of them was in that convoluted system.
How big a role, though, does caseload play in this? You have investigators who, according to a number of reports, including some reporting done by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, have said they just have huge caseloads and it's impossible to keep up with them.
Well, even just in the area that we look at, when you take on a rough end 700 cases and you divide that amongst the 22 investigators that work out of the office, as well as the 28 investigators that's assigned to facilities, when you do the math on that, their caseload is not that bad off when you start looking at a investigative unit coming from a police department or sheriff's department, or I don't know about GBI, how they manage their caseload. But when you look at that and you divide that cases, that 700 range amongst those investigators, it's not that bad ratio.
So just to be clear, you're saying caseload is not the primary problem.
I would say that looking at the caseload, looking at the processes that were in place as it relates to the convoluted system that we had in place, that aids in the backlog of those cases because the investigators was working some of those cases, and it's just a convoluted system in which how closure of those cases would have taken place.
So you're saying it's a system problem rather than a volume problem?
It's a people problem as well as it's a system problem to where the investigators were doing closing out cases, but our convoluted system approach was that it had to go from one end of it to the other end. So it's a combination of both. But I would say, you know, when you look at those 22 investigators and then the 28 case investigators that we have in the field, we have 4,000-plus employees in this agency. And our employees does a I will put them up with any state agency in here, but you get complacent at times as it relates to a change in the direction that the agency would travel, different direction. I think when you look at this agency as a whole over the past 4 or 5 years, we've went through a dramatic change in leadership. As well as in our investigative unit. So you know, the only thing that I know is that in order for us to improve, we got to change. And I'm that change agent. And we're going to change the way that we work cases. We're going to change the way that we investigate cases. And then we're going to change the way that we actually close cases. And that's looking at a newer approach on our system that we're putting in place to help close those cases when the investigators do their job in the field.
You came in November. At what point did you know, maybe not how many cases were in the backlog, but that there was a backlog?
I really don't know that answer until we hired an assistant commissioner that came in and reorganized, started the approach. And that's when we discovered that the backlogs of cases was needed to be addressed. But like I said, a lot of the backlog of cases, some of those cases had been closed from an investigative perspective, but our system as it relates to, quote, closure was not in place.
Did the board of this department know soon enough that there was a problem? Because the question's been asked. How could they not know? Until all of a sudden there was all this attention paid to the Justice Department survey.
When I came on in November, board chair, board member, had no knowledge of it. But that board, our board, is a policy-making board, not necessarily involved in the day-to-day operations. That's the commissioner's responsibility. What we do, have done in the executive session that we had, I informed the board of those policy issues, since they are policy board, and advise them of the policy things and going forward a way ahead.
And can you say when that happened, without disclosing what you said to them in executive session, when did that happen? When did they know from you?
It was the board meeting in May or June.
It was June
down in Macon.
Again, according to some reporting that the AJC did, there was at least a claim that someone said to investigators in May, you guys have a backlog of around 700 cases. So presumably the board might have heard about that from somebody.
I can't answer for the board, but I can say that, you know, there have been discussions a way ahead. How do we get here? Because keep in mind, this didn't happen on June the 25th. Or June 1st or May 31st. It's a long way ahead, a way ahead. I think that our agency has done things, put measures in place to prevent future of this agency from going backwards with the resources that we've wrapped our hands around and going forward with the mechanisms that we're putting in place 3 years from now. It may be something else, but I guarantee you won't be a 700-plus cases because of the measures that we put in place and because of the attention that we've given to this.
If you're feeling somebody should have known, what's being done to change that now?
And that's a good question. We make sure that all of our investigators, and a way ahead, going forward, making sure that they get the proper training, that they actually have a better tracking system in place, an investigator data collection system, so that we have a more, it won't take as long for somebody to recognize that there's a backlog or a front log. Our cases will be looked at. Our investigators, once they have a case assigned to them, they will be on a weekly basis. reporting to their supervisor or their lead person, who would report that findings on a weekly basis up the channel. The commissioner level down know that cases exist, know the numbers that the cases exist, and then ask those key questions. Why are these cases, if they're would take over the time frame, what measures do we put in place? Where is closure going? And do we need outside help to get us? We are also in the process to making sure that we do a full-blown staff analysis to make sure we have the right number of investigators assigned statewide to make sure that every case that gets reported gets a fair shake, gets reported, gets looked at, and there's some kind of closure to that case.
Where will the money come from to do that, though?
We have to evaluate to ask for additional personnel if we need it. Right now, we just need to make sure that we have the number of investigators on site. For instance, there's four different regions in this state. And if for instance, one of our regions don't have the near case volume, then why can't we move that investigator from that region to another region that's having a flow of additional cases? So we're doing a system-wide analysis to make sure that we have the right fix for that right area of the state.